This is Biz. I'm a part-time working mom with a big kid and a little kid.
And I'm Teresa. I have a family business, two young kids, and a baby.
This is a show about life after giving life. Don't listen with your kids, because there will be swears. This is One Bad Mother. This week on One Bad Mother, am I failing at letting my child fail? Plus, Biz gets dumb tacky. Teresa takes cover, and we talk to Dr. Ama Mazama about homeschooling for African American children.
Woo!
Hey, you know what I'm excited about, Teresa?
What?
Extra wooing, because this Saturday, August 26th.
So like 2 days after show comes out.
Correct.
Yeah.
We are live at the Bootleg Theater in Los Angeles at 2 p.m. Doors open at 1. The show runs about an hour 20. The bar is open. We have Kay Cannon joining us, live genius and fails. We'll be signing books after the show and saying hi. So please go to onebedmotherpodcast.com for ticket info under live shows. Yeah, that is going to be so much fun.
It's going to be so fun.
It is going to be
so excited.
The most fun.
Yes.
Speaking of the most funs, how are you, Teresa?
I'm fine. Do you think, because we're recording this during the solar eclipse, and I'm wondering if maybe this show will be injected with magic somehow.
Oh, I was thinking you were going to say, when we came out of the booth, the earth had gone desolate.
Oh, whoa. Ooh. I like that better.
We emerge from our somehow protected by soundproofing thing.
Yeah, the soundproofing is what keeps us safe from the apocalypse.
That's right,
yeah.
The radiation apocalypse. Yeah. Or... yeah. We're infused with magic.
Yeah.
Teresa and I are two different people.
So, okay, do you want to hear about the worst parenting day of my life?
Do you think it's the effect of the eclipse?
No.
Then
I wish.
Yes. Then yes. Okay. Either way, we'll blame it on the eclipse.
Okay. So yesterday was Sunday. Sunday mornings, Jesse goes to the flea market, one of many flea markets in Southern California. There's always one on Sunday morning, a different one each week. He always goes and does that. And I hang out with the kids. And so we're at home. It's fine. Everything's, going fine until it's not.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a picnic play date planned. Did you like that? Picnic play date planned.
The PPP.
With the triple P. We had a triple P planned.
One P for each thorn
that's
child.
That's redundant now. Not a triple P planned. Okay. So, supposed to go meet some friends at a neighborhood park to have a little picnic. Jesse was going to meet us there, and he was going to take the kids to their swim lesson, at which point I could go off with
Cry.
The baby and just chill out. Cry is, like, a little too appropriate for this story.
Okay.
So, just...
I'm going to back it up.
Yeah. So... the kids have been playing all morning, and I'm like, okay, this is a good time for them to, like, sit and stream something on Netflix while I, like, get the baby down for a nap so that I can pack the picnic again with the peas.
Right.
This is killing me. So as I'm turning on the show, I say to Grace and Oscar, so we're doing this, and when it's over, we're going to the park to meet our friends. So when I say it's time to turn it off, I don't want to hear a bunch of complaining. I just want to hear, like, okay, mommy, and we're going and we're using the potty and we're getting in the car. And they're like, great. Okay, yes. They hear me. Yes. Okay, great. So I go and I get everything ready and I'm kind of rushing because, of course, we're running late.
Right.
That's just how it is. And I get everything together and I make some sandwiches and I get extra stuff and I got the, you know, refrigerator bag and blah, blah, blah. And the baby kind of like sleeps long enough to let me do that. And I get myself ready and the baby wakes up and I turn off the show. And Grace is like, no, I'm not going.
Ugh.
And which was just, sorry, that's what we're doing right now.
Yeah.
So basically, I'm just going to summarize what the next 45 minutes were like, because basically I had one kid who adamantly just decides, no way. There's no way I'm going.
Right.
And I have another kid who's, like, getting ready, using the potty, putting shoes on, totally ready to go, playing quietly, like, doing a great job, really excited to go to the park. And had Jesse been there, you know, he can just carry a kid to the car.
Right.
Like, I can't do that with a baby. I have to carry the baby to the car.
Right.
And I have two other kids to get to the car. Like, if people aren't willing to go to the car... I can't really do that right. by myself. And what ended up happening was an escalation where the kid who did not want to go started throwing things at me. Fully throwing things at me, like threw shoes at me. At one point, I was holding the baby and a stool from the bathroom was thrown at us. It was so bad. It was like so above and beyond that I could like it escalated so far and so fast that I couldn't backtrack to the point of saying like, look, I know you don't want to do this, but how about if we go do this, I'll reward you with blah, blah. Like, I couldn't even use bribery at this point because it escalated so fast and was so far beyond anything acceptable that, like, to make an offer of something like that would have been, I mean, it would just, once a child is, like, actually doing stuff like that, I can't, like, offer to like bribe them. Like, I'm not gonna, it's just gross. You know, like, I'm not gonna be like, you can have ice cream if we go, even though you just threw this thing at my head. Like, I'm not gonna do that.
It conflicts.
With
larger things.
Yeah.
Right.
And I had like that adrenaline reaction having something thrown at me, especially while holding the baby.
Oh, yeah.
And there was like spitting and like just really, it was so bad that I just cried. I was crying.
Yeah.
I cried.
Of course you did.
And I was like, wow, I have to give up. I have everybody packed. I put so much effort into making this happen. Our friends were already there. They had texted me like where they were. Like they'd already arrived by this point. And so finally I just gave up, you know, and I just went and like laid down. I just went and laid down with the baby. And the child who did want to go then proceeded to have a full tantrum, meltdown, emotional. I mean, because we weren't going to this park, which caused me to cry
again.
Even more.
Yeah.
So it was, and you know, skip ahead a few hours. We sorted out some things. We had some talking. We had some eating. We like recovered. We moved on. We went and had the rest of our day. And, you know, everybody's okay. We're all in one piece. But it was, it was so bad that it was like one of the few times where in my life where parenting these kids, I've felt like I don't know what to do right now.
Yeah.
I have no idea how to handle, like, this is so far beyond my pay grade. And like, I feel like that happens with parenting. Like there's lots of stuff that's like, oh, this really sucks, but like, I can deal with it or I know what to do.
Right.
That happens a lot. But then there's these moments that are so above and beyond. It was like, I literally had no words and no actions.
Yeah.
I knew not what to do.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
That is a horrible day.
It was so shitty.
And I want to say, you say that everybody's recovered, but to me, that's like one of those things that like, I would carry a few days just the like the injury.
Yeah,
the,
no,
like,
I'm totally in that. Like I came in this morning, I was like, I'm a little dazed, and that's totally why.
Yeah.
Like I'm fine. I'll get over it.
You will be fine.
Yeah, and like the kids are fine, but like that was just it was a lot. It was really intense.
It was intense. Yeah, I am so sorry.
Thank you.
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm all right. No one's throwing anything at me this week, so that's good.
Yeah.
Always a good thing in my house when that's not happening.
Yeah, that is good.
But I was definitely having a week of, I have nothing else to give, so if you guys are going to go do stuff on your own, great. Uh-huh. And I'm going to look at me letting you go be creative players or whatever.
Yeah.
So Katie Bell has decided she was going to she has a bulletin board on her desk and she was going to redo it. And we have given her thumbtacks to use.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Ellis, I could hear from the other room, Ellis wanting a thumbtack.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, no, you can't have it. And I finally say, you know, what do you want to do with the thumbtack? And he's like, I want to put it in paper. And I was like, you know what? All right. This is how you hold the thumbtack. I mean, the worst thing he's going to do, he's going to prick himself or whatever. Lesson learned.
Yeah.
It's not knives.
Yeah.
One thumbtack.
Yeah.
All right. And I let him go off back to the room to do this.
Uh-huh.
A little later, I hear him saying something again. He needs more paper and even more paper. And when I go back, what Ellis has created, imagine the thing when you're going into like a parking garage or something and it says, if you back up, you're going to destroy your tires.
Right, right, right.
Right, like police throw it out to stop car chases.
Right.
He has like created this like all this like huge stack of paper with just thumbtack after thumbtack after thumbtack. Uh-huh. It's the most dangerous thing. Uh-huh. Yeah. There are also loose thumbtacks in the carpet.
Sure.
There's like, I got like so kind of like, how could you guys have let this happen?
When how did I let this happen?
Yeah, yeah, I just didn't want to be in there for like 10 minutes. It was like 10 minutes. I'm just like not
so
wanting to
times.
Be there.
Yes.
And I'm like, you know, this is...
You kind of know also that you're going to go in and something...
Something's going to be there.
You're making a deal.
I'm making a deal.
With
how bad is this going to be? Yeah. And like, so I'm picking up like all the little extra thumbtacks. I'm sure that I'll find another one.
Oh, yes.
Barefoot in my house.
Yep.
Or my children will be blessed to never step on a... I will always step on a thumbtack. But anyway, and of course, he doesn't want to get rid of it.
Right.
It's his favorite.
To save it.
Right.
It's his favorite thing.
It's his favorite thing. So there's now just like a stack of paper with like 10 to 15 thumbtacks sticking up. Just in the den. I mean, not in the den, in the bedroom.
Okay.
Sometimes in a drawer.
Uh-huh. But sometimes it comes out.
And I'm like, this is the worst thing I've allowed to kind of, this is awful.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Speaking of awful and making mistakes, today I'm going to monopolize the show a little bit with the question, am I failing and letting my children fail?
Please take a moment to remember, if you're friends of the hosts of One Bad Mother, you should assume that when we talk about other moms, we're talking about you.
If you are married to the host of One Bad Mother, we definitely are talking about you.
Nothing we say constitutes professional parenting advice.
Biz and Teresa's children are brilliant, lovely, and exceedingly extraordinary.
Nothing said on this podcast about them implies otherwise.
All right, Teresa.
Yes.
So I have been stewing on this for a while because, you know, things were going great. So I need something to stew on.
Yep.
But this is real, actually. This is one of those things that, like, I have been wrestling with a little mom guilt, a little mom self-judging on have I done something in my history of parenting Katie Bell that has set herself up to be unable to problem solve? Okay. And this is what we're really talking about. So, like, I kind of, there's like a question that I sort of asked myself at like 2 a.m. a couple of weeks ago, which was, what if I can't let Katie Bell do it on her own? And I think there are sort of two categories of like letting your kids learn how to do stuff on their own. And there's one that I think I've been fairly successful at. My kid carries her own backpack. She dresses herself. She can make herself a sandwich, make herself toast, you know, like get her own snacks, her own water, bathe herself, you know, like all the practical. I don't do her homework. She can ask her teachers questions. You know, like I don't.
Let's remind everyone how old she is.
Yeah, Katie Bell's eight. She just turned eight.
Great.
So there's like, there's practical like skills that she can do. But what I have noticed recently that feels like it shouldn't be happening at this age is a lack of ability to problem solve. And let me give you some examples to help like put this into perspective. So a classic example I think everybody has experienced is hearing their kids say, I can't find such and such, right? She'll come in and she'll be like, have you seen my, you know, hairbrush? It is in the bathroom. I can't find it. Okay, so we're going to stop. We're going to stop this example
here. I'm only laughing because of recognition.
Right.
Go ahead.
Yeah, we all know this, right? Like, it's like, I can't find my shoes. And they're like right by your feet.
Yes.
So you're like, okay, well, it's in the bathroom.
Yeah.
Look at me being the parent who's going to let you problem solve.
Right.
Go and find your hairbrush.
Yeah.
It's definitely in your bathroom. Yeah.
This
right?
is like barely even a problem
This is barely
solve,
even a problem
right?
solving.
Okay.
I feel
this
like we have
like,
to go to degrees throughout my, my story here.
Yes.
And like 10 minutes later, she cannot still find the brush. But I know she has just stood.
Right. She just stood
there.
She
just stood there not looking.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know how other parents respond to this. But I respond badly. I go crazy.
Yeah.
Because all I think is, it's like on the couch. Like I'll walk in and I'll be like, I can see it.
Yeah, or open one drawer.
Open
Did
one
you
drawer.
Open one drawer?
Right. Did you open? Is this helping you learn? By me coming in and being like, did you use your eyeballs, Katie Bell? Did you open things? Did you, I don't know, just turn your head and look down right there? Hint, hint, next to you. If it's a snake, you're getting warmer. You're getting colder. All that stuff, right? Okay, again, possibly why? Because in that very situation, I am telling her where it is.
Yeah.
When I go in,
yeah.
I have now stopped allowing her to continue to problem solve.
Yeah.
I have gone in and solved the problem.
Right.
Okay. In all situations, my frustration with her lack of ability to do the things she wants to do results in my first attempt of, well, I guess you'll take all day to figure that out. Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
To me immediately, like 5 minutes later, being like, it's right there.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So as she is now like 8, I feel like we should be getting out of this on some level. And so what I need is like, I'm here to do this to talk about reality checks. Because I'm sure if I go back and listen to the show a few years ago, I'd be like, she'll never learn manners. She'll never be a polite child in the world, right? And now I have been able to come on the show and say, well, now that she's hit 7, 8, I see all that manners work, all that politeness work kick in.
Yeah.
But I also feel that teaching your kid manners is a little easier because it's easy to be consistent with say yes, ma'am, say no, ma'am, say thank you, say please, say, you know, did you say please? Did you say thank you? Like, those are kind of gimmies. Mm-hmm. We all do it. And I feel like I have proven that that eventually kicks in.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not sure when this problem-solving thing is supposed to kick in. And I want her to be a problem solver.
Mm.
I don't want her to walk into her room and say, I can't find the thing that's by my foot. That makes me crazy. And to give you a bigger like problem, like why this has been brewing in my head, I'll give you one more example and then we'll get into this.
Okay.
A little more. And this should fall into a fail category, but I'll just share it for
Great.
The show. So it's the second day of school. It's that morning. Katie Bell's got garbage all over her face. And I say, Katie Bell, go wash your face. Before we go to school, she goes into the bathroom and I pass the bathroom like a minute later and she's just standing there and her face is still covered with garbage. And I say, Katie Bell, wash your face. She says, I don't have a washcloth. And I say, okay. She says, there are no clean washcloths in here. And I say, okay, my brain, my internal brain, I'm like, oh my God, what's wrong with you? What's your problem? There's a fucking bathroom. But instead I say, oh, this is your chance, Elizabeth, to do that thing that you've been talking about and beating yourself up about. Katie Bell, there are a number of other ways to wash your face. There are a number of other options to use in this bathroom to wash your face. Why don't you figure out a different way to wash your face?
Uh-huh.
And I walk away. Several minutes later, I come back past the bathroom, and she's still standing there.
Uh-huh.
Now, my kids wake up early. She's
right.
not tired.
Okay.
We're not, like, doped out or something. She's just standing there. And I say, Katie Bell. And she goes, I can't. There's no other way to wash my face. And then I lose my mind. I just went immediately to losing my mind.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, I mean, I like yelled. I yelled. I was like, oh, my God, are you kidding me? There are towels on the wall.
Yeah.
There's a hand towel right here. Your foot's standing on a drawer, like it's up, propped up on a drawer with hand towels that could also be used. You could just take water, splash it on your face with your hands. Like, it's a bathroom.
Yeah.
It's designed for washing.
Yeah.
Like, there's so many ways. And then I was like, all right, save this. You're yelling at her. And I was like, you have a big, beautiful brain. And it gets me upset when I don't see you using it the way I know that you can use it and this should be an easy and then I tried to walk it back and then I left. And then she was like super upset the rest of the morning, which she had the right to be. She had a right to be upset.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know what to do. Like this panics me as a parent.
Uh-huh.
And it could just panic me because I have a problem letting problems go unsolved.
Uh-huh.
I am a problem solver.
Yeah.
This is...
Totally.
But it's like the crafting thing. I assume everybody's a problem solver.
Mm-hmm.
I assume everybody's like, hey, I can't, you know, get in the doorknob's not working. I wonder if I just turn it the other way, if that'll work.
Yeah.
As I watch my children just keep pushing the door that says pull. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, well, just have you tried something? I just figure we all do that. Maybe not. So my questions are... Is it too late? Is this correct for her developmental stage? I'm not sure we can answer that.
Yeah.
And can I change this given that I may not? This goes back to the original question. I'm scared I can't let her
right.
Like, I can't. Like,
well,
it's not
what's interesting about this whole conversation is you seem to know exactly where this is coming from,
what
the problem is, and what you need to do to fix it. Like,
but the problem is I can't. I'm like, I'm really concerned I can't, that it's me. Like, again, me.
So what is stopping you from just letting her make mistakes or fail? Like, what are you worried about happening? Or what? I understand. Okay, let me start with, I understand. Let me first start with it's not too late. I'm positive about that. But also, like, I understand there's also like a time and a place for giving your kids like the freedom to fail and mess up and like stuff like that. And like for me, I know your kids get up early, but like for me, getting ready to get everybody out of the house is not a great time.
Right.
To like, and even if you guys have plenty of time, it's just, it's the start of your day. You're kind of like trying to stay on schedule.
Sure.
There's like a number of things. Like, to me, like, I understand just handing your kid a washcloth or helping them find a hairbrush or whatever you need to do to like stay on schedule. And there's like other times in your day that might be like better suited to like letting your kid like work the stuff out on their own.
Right.
But like beyond, but like setting aside
that
those
time
moments.
Of day?
Well, that's what I'm wondering. Yeah. Like, what is it that's, because I understand time and you know, there's levels of priorities.
Right.
There's certain things that sort of trump letting your kid like figure out stuff. So like what, outside of like staying on schedule or whatever, like what emotionally is stopping you from letting her spend an hour trying to figure something out or just screw something up?
I see what you're asking.
What's going to happen? What's the worst case scenario?
That is a good question. And I am not sure I am motivated by worst case scenario.
Uh-huh.
I think I am purely, like, it is instinctual for me to provide solutions.
Uh-huh. Yep, got it.
So I think
that is something you have to offer.
Right.
Yeah.
That is a thing that I do. My own interest and desire to problem solve and to, like, be involved in. I do think that maybe there was a time where I felt like if I was showing them ways to do it.
Yeah, that they would learn from that.
But I don't think that's happening. Like, I haven't seen that in practice yet. Like, I haven't seen, well, here are the three different ways you could get, you know, I don't know, like an egg to roll down this thing without breaking. This is nothing we've ever done. This is just something that's come to my mind. But, like, let's say, you know, there is a problem that they're trying to solve. And I feel like as a parent, I'm teaching by talking about some different approaches.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what do you think?
Mm-hmm.
But now I think that's not working, at least with my kids. Now I feel like I'm getting met, at least with Katie Bell, with the answer with, I don't know.
Right.
Why don't you do it? Right?
Right.
Like, and that's where I feel, that's where the guilt comes out. That's where I feel like, oh my God, have I just been setting us up for this with her? Have I been, in my desire to like work with her and teach her, have I not been teaching her?
Yeah.
And now it's a really, because it is instinctual for me. I mean, I was an executive assistant, guys.
Competitive, great.
Anybody, you've been listening to the show for years, you know, I would like to get ahead of a problem.
Yeah.
So I don't know how I'm supposed, like, I'm having a hard time pulling back.
Yeah.
Or, like you said, finding the right windows to pull back. Because you're right. Sometimes there's time-related things where I can't, like, have her looking for 20 minutes for her backpack when it's by her foot and we got to get out the door.
Yeah.
But, and I've said, I've even done the, like one of the mistakes that I make, and it's okay, I think, to say there are mistakes that I make, is there have been times all summer saying, Katie Bell, I'm no longer going to help you with X, Y, and Z. Mm-hmm. If you can't find something, you can't. Like, I set up these great, like, this is now
then
you.
Then do you follow? That's good. Do you follow
but
through?
I clearly don't follow through.
Okay.
I clearly don't. Like, that is my, like, you know, being truthful about what I'm doing. It's not like, man, he just loves the bottle. Well, it's because I keep shoving a bottle in his mouth.
Right. Yeah.
Ellis doesn't walk fast because I fucking carry him everywhere.
Right. Yeah.
But
this
one, well, that seems hilarious to me.
Yeah.
Again, this one feels very personal.
Yeah, no, I totally get it.
And again, I'm not sure we're going anywhere with this.
Yeah, no, I just, I'm thinking about it because I think it's like personalities too.
Yeah.
Like Oscar is my kid who's more like that, where I'm just like, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
Like, really? You can't figure this out?
Yeah.
And it, but like I can see how like a lot of times I just go like, oh, well, he's three. But like Grace was not like that at three. Like she figures her shit out. Like she doesn't even bother asking me because she wants to figure out her own way of doing it. Mm. So I think part of it is a personality thing. Like you led into this with the concept that like obviously manners are easier to teach. And I think that might be a personality thing too.
True.
Katie, but like, you know, that's true. Something that, you know, she's very verbal and like she's very like intuitive in terms of like listening to you and like she's able to, you know what I mean? Like that's something that is like maybe she's good at like memorizing or like, you know what I mean? Like there's like things that come really naturally and then there's things that like we all kind of need to work on more. But I think like I wonder what would happen if...
Her in the woods for an hour?
No, just, like, thinking about your competitive nature, like, even with yourself, like, what if you, like, set up for yourself, like, one a day, just mentally, one a day? Like, just tell yourself one a day, and that means to you, like, one problem a day, even. And, like, at some point in this day, I'm going to find that moment where I'm going to, like, wait.
Yeah.
And just let it happen and let whatever the outcome is be the outcome of that. Like, what if you did that?
I
don't know.
I have to get medicated. I don't know. Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, like, you're right. Like, that's a joke. But, like, but there is a slight panic to that because, like, I was telling Stefan last night, I said it earlier, like, it is almost compulsory to solve problems. So to have a problem floating around that is going unsolved is absurd to me.
Right.
And what I'm having a hard time is accepting that not all problems are mine to solve.
Right.
Right? Like, she's got to solve. So, I mean,
it's maybe more of a problem that she can't solve her problem. So maybe that's the problem you can focus on.
Thank you. Thank you for the spin. That's I can embrace that. Yeah. Your larger problem.
Like, I am fixing this by every single day. I'm going to do this one thing each day. Yeah. And that's how I'm going to fix this problem.
Because it falls into that thing of like, if I just like don't like let the kids go do their own thing and they'll all sort it out, which I'm such a believer in.
Which I think
also makes me kick myself in the pants and be like, that's the style of parenting that I want to do.
Yeah.
And it just clearly goes against all that I am.
Right.
And it's just very frustrating. So I think I just needed to come in and kind of like vomit it out.
Yeah.
It's really not. While Katie Bell has problems problem solving, this is not her problem. This is a problem I have sort of created.
Yeah.
And
she's perfect.
She's perfect in every way.
Like all our kids.
Like all our children. I, on the other hand,
we need some broken
shadows. Yes. Shadows of our former like free thinking selves. Support for One Bad Mother comes from Rent the Runway. Turns out, after having kids, your closet may not be filled with clothes that you feel great in anymore, or panic buys that you only wear once, or, like me, very, very outdated options.
You can finally experience a wardrobe you love with Rent the Runway's unlimited subscription to everyday fashion. Enjoy the thrill of new clothes without the commitment, closet space, or buyer's remorse. 70% of Unlimited members say they shop less now that they subscribe to fashion. So Unlimited is a subscription to fashion that gives you access to a rotating closet filled with premium designer styles for work, weekends, and everything in between. Keep in mind, you guys, you don't have to wash or keep everything pristine before you return it.
Our listeners can get 25% off their first month. Visit renttherunway.com/unlimited or download the iPhone app. Enter code BADMOTHER at checkout to get the 25% discount. We've got a Jumbotron. This Jumbotron is for Erin Compton from your One Bad Mother Facebook family.
Erin, you are doing an incredible job. We love you and we will always support you and stand with you. Lots of love from all of us. And Erin, that's also from Biz and me. Lots of love from us too.
You are doing a great job.
Hey, you know what it's time for? This week's Genius and Fails. This is the part of the show where we share our genius moment of the week, as well as our failures, and feel better about ourselves by hearing yours. You can share some of your own by calling 206-350-9485. That's 206-350-9485.
Genius fail time, Teresa. Genius me.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
I saw what you did.
Oh, my God.
I'm paying attention.
Wow.
You, Mom, are a genius.
Oh, my God. That's fucking genius.
So every year, Oscar's preschool does a field trip to this, like, water park that's, it's like a regular water park, except they also have like a big area that's for little kids. Like they have like life jackets that for little kids.
Right.
Like you can be like a 1 year old or a 2 year old
yeah.
and like have fun there. And I was chaperoning on the field trip, and everybody brings like their whole family on this field trip. Like it's like this thing, and everybody
right.
goes. It's like an hour away, and like everybody has a great time, and they really encourage you to like bring all your kids and blah blah blah. And like I knew Jesse wasn't going to be there, and I knew Grace would want to come, and I knew
right.
there were like other siblings that were going to come. And I just thought to myself, and it was a day that the babysitter was going to be with Curtis, so
right.
I knew I didn't have to bring the baby, which was great. But I just had this feeling like, hey, if I go with Grace and Oscar, that'll be good and challenging.
Yeah.
Or I could just take Oscar.
Yeah.
And just not even mention it to Grace because she doesn't know what she's missing.
Right.
And just have a great special day
yeah.
with just me and one kid
yeah.
who, like, I can have some, like, quality time with.
Yeah.
And I will actually have fun in this scenario.
Huh.
And we just did that. And we had the best day.
Oh.
I'm so glad I did it. And, like, I totally was, like, second-guessing it leading up to it because, like,
yeah.
other people we knew were bringing their older kids
sure.
who were Grace's age. And I was just like, no, this yeah. is what I actually want this.
Oh,
and it's going
good.
To be fun for Oscar and me. And it was. It was awesome.
Good job.
We had a great day.
Good job.
Thank you.
Okay. Friday, I went into Katie Bell School to make pinhole projectors for the eclipse with the kids. Happening this week. And that involved some tinfoil. And Ellis wanted to play with some tinfoil. So I had made Ellis some rocket boots out of tinfoil. But then Ellis and I, before going to the school, had the most lovely time making him a full suit out of tinfoil. And what was fun about this was I just sat on the floor and put tinfoil on him. He's like three. So there's no like, it's not perfect. It's great. Right.
Yeah.
And we just did that. And then later at the school, because he walked in some of his tinfoil gear, like all these third graders were like kind of making fun, but kind of interested.
Uh-huh.
So after we made the cameras, I just used 75 feet of tinfoil and let the kids go and make whatever they
yeah.
wanted to out of tinfoil. And it turned out to be like such a fun problem solving,
uh-huh.
Like sort of project, you know, like I need tape. You can make this work without tape. How can you make it work
Ooh,
without
yeah.
tape? And it was just like a fun time with tinfoil, guys. That was a cheap and fun toy.
That's awesome.
It was.
Great job.
It was great.
Hi, guys. This is my genius moment inspired by Teresa's fail from last week of Oscar peeing all over the couch. When we were potty training my kiddo, we unzipped the covers from the seat cushion and put in the waterproof pads like you put on a changing table in between the cover and the cushion. So the pee could not soak into the cushion no matter how long it had sat there. So hope this can help somebody else, and you're all doing a really great job.
This is genius.
Yeah.
I cannot believe.
That's great.
This is like the first time I've heard this.
Yeah.
I was not probably the first time I've heard it, but I'm just like, it just
yeah.
jumps out of like, oh.
Yeah, it's a great idea.
It's a really good idea.
Yeah.
Good job.
Yeah, good job.
That's amazing. Failures.
Fail, 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 fail.
You suck.
Fail me, Teresa.
So I think I've said that, like, things have been falling through the cracks. Like, I think I've mentioned that, but
yeah.
I'll just say it again. Things have been falling through the cracks. And here's just one example. So, you know, Oscar goes to preschool and a lot of the kids have birthdays and they invite all the kids to go to the birthday party. I had not one, but two birthday parties last month where I didn't open the invitation until the day of the party, after like an hour or two after the party, like just coincidentally, two different times.
Oh my gosh.
I opened, by the time I got around to opening the invitation, it was like an hour or two after the party had ended.
Oh,
ended.
No.
Just had no idea it was even happening. Sent like apologetic notes. And then like a couple days later at this like water park field trip, I was talking to a mom of a kid who Oscar is really good friends with. Mm-hmm. And she turns to me and she goes, so will he be at the birthday party on Saturday? And I was like, what? I literally had no idea. And I can't even explain it. I just had no idea it was happening. And we couldn't make it due to a conflict. But I felt like so, because you could tell that she's like, oh, you know, he really wants Oscar there. And hopefully, you know, and I was like, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
I don't know how to explain to you that this is not personal.
Yeah.
That it's just not. Like,
yeah, I am so sorry. That's really real.
Yeah.
That is a horrible fail.
Yeah.
And I do sit there and I think, I would like to make an example of it in the sense that, like, how easy it is when you're the sender to mm-hmm. think that, like, to just really be like, what is their problem?
Right.
Like, you know what I mean?
They didn't even open the invitation.
But here's the thing.
Yeah.
Like, that's real. It happens. We will all be on the other side of, like, missing or not reading or forgetting and not responding.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm so sorry that happened. It's totally understandable that that happened.
Yeah.
Given everything that, you know, like, I'm so sorry.
Thanks.
Yeah. You're doing an awful job.
I know.
My fail is that yelling at Katie Bell about that washcloth. Mm. I got to handle that a lot of different ways. And I was really mad. Like, it was like a panic mad. It was like sort of like your fight or flight thing for me.
Yeah.
Seeing
like,
her
how could
stand
this be
there
happening? Yeah.
Like, really got me like panic angry. Mm. And it really soured the whole morning. Like, so then she's like getting like that sort of stress breathing, you know, mm-hmm. like really have upset her. And then that stuff always like absorbs my anger. So mm-hmm. then whenever the next time he talks to kids, he talks to them in a snappy way.
Uh-huh.
And like, so she's like really upset the whole, and I just was like, this was me.
Mm-hmm.
I made her upset.
On the second day
of school. This was not a confidence boosting. There's no love note I can put in her lunchbox that's going to make up for this. And like, I still feel like bad about like how I handled that. And I'm sure there's some positive thing about I won't do it again, but I probably will. And I don't know, like, it's really hard. I am really struggling with this right now. So there you go, guys.
Hi, ladies. This is a fail. I've been solo parenting during the week and most weekends for about 4 months now. And showing a house along with that, trying to sell it, while we relocate. Last night, to avoid the kids messing the house up, we went out to dinner and then went to get some groceries. My son, who's 5, was getting very tired, and I decided I'd try to hurry up and get him in the house and to bed. Got him to bed, got my daughter to bed, was exhausted, went to bed myself. Wasn't until this morning that I realized I left the groceries in the car overnight. Fucking seriously. Can't believe it. Of course, it included milk and yogurt. No frozen stuff, thankfully, but lots of stuff. Just another thing to add to the list. Thanks, guys. You're doing a good job.
Oh, that sucks.
Really bad.
Yeah.
And also something that happens all the time.
Oh, totally.
Yeah. Yeah, it's always the dairy. You know what I mean? Like, it's almost, you get everything out of the car sometimes, but the dairy.
Oh, yeah, right.
Right? Like, yeah, I am sorry.
You can just be dairy-free for a week or two. Just...
You are doing a very good job.
Yeah, you are.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
But also, fail. You're doing both a great job and a horrible job.
You are the greatest mom I've ever known. I love you. I love you. When I have a problem, I call you on the phone. I love you. I love you.
One Bad Mother is supported in part by NatureBox.
NatureBox has over 100 snacks like sriracha roasted cashews, white cheddar caramel popcorn, or vanilla bean wafers that taste good and are actually better for you, which is great when you are on a snack rut for what to pack in the diaper bag, the back seat, or the lunch boxes.
And right now, you'll save even more. NatureBox is offering One Bad Mother listeners 3 free snacks and the first month of their membership free with your first order when you go to naturebox.com/badmother. That's naturebox.com/badmother for 3 free snacks with your first order, naturebox.com/badmother.
Teresa.
Yes.
Let's call a parent.
Great.
This week, we are talking to Dr. Amma Mazama, who is an associate professor and director of the graduate programs of the Department of Africa American Studies at Temple University. She's also the managing editor of the Journal of Black Studies. Her publications appear in journals in 3 continents. Well known as an educational consultant for the infusion of African content into American schools, she has written several books for teachers in addition to her major scholarly works in Afrocentric philosophy and theory. 2 co-edited encyclopedias, the Encyclopedia of Black Studies and the Encyclopedia of African Religion, earned praise for her for their pioneering work from the National Council of Black Studies. We have asked her here to talk about her research on homeschooling in African-American families. Welcome, Dr. Mazama.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for joining us. You are somewhere not here. Where are you right now? You are someplace exciting. At least for me, it's exciting.
It is exciting for me, too. I'm home. I'm in Guadeloupe.
Oh, that's
which is in the eastern Caribbean, yes.
Oh, that's lovely. That's so nice. Before we get into your research, I'd like to ask you what we ask all our guests, which is, who lives in your house?
My husband and our 3 children.
3 children.
As well as 2 dogs and a cat.
That's all we care about on this show, are the animals. Do you mind if I ask how old your children are?
They are 22, 15, and 12.
I wanted to kind of set this up by saying I am often the first person on the show to admit that there's lots of things I know very little about, especially before I had kids. And homeschooling was definitely one of those things that when I was much younger, I knew nothing about, and I made some lovely generalizations about why people homeschool. But again, you know, that surprising thing when you start asking questions, you start to realize that you know nothing about something. I also discovered I had a lot of friends who were homeschooling their kids. And so I had the opportunity to admit openly that I was a big jerk at one point in time in my life. So I'm excited to talk about this with you today. And you did a lot of research that was focused on why more and more Black families were choosing to homeschool their kids. And so the first thing I'd like to ask you is, why did you choose to do this research? Was it because this was you were homeschooling your children, or was it something you were interested in before you started that?
You know, I did it really because I am homeschooling, and I realized, you know, that there was no research that had been done on why Black families do this increasingly, and so I thought there was a void there, and I wanted to fill that void. And I also wanted, most importantly, to allow Black families to speak for themselves, because there was really a tendency in the works that I read, there's an assumption that Black people do it just because white people do it, you know? And I realized that things were a bit more complicated, because being Black in the United States can be, a tricky business, you know? So it's going to be so simple. You know?
Well, right. So, yeah, there are lots of reasons that people choose to homeschool their kids, be it, you know, learning disabilities, or be it religious reasons, or maybe, you know, they just don't feel that their children are getting what they need to get from school. I certainly, now that I have kids in school, I've certainly had those moments where I'm like, is my daughter getting enough? Is she getting the education that she could handle? you know, that she that would let her develop. So I am sure that those do play in on some level, but there really are unique reasons for why Black families are making this choice. Can you share with us what those motivations are?
Clearly, there's an overlap, you know, between among Black, you know, homeschooling parents, you know, across racial lines, social lines, you know, the reasons that you mentioned, you know, quality of education and things like that. But for the Black parents, the underlying and recurrent motivation was really racism. They were really what I call in my research racial protectionists. They were very, you know, eager to protect their children's self-esteem, their children's sense of self-worth. They were very concerned about their children hating themselves, feeling bad about themselves because of the school, because of the curriculum, because of the teachers' attitudes, because of influences from peers, attitudes and from the administrators, the increasing policing of schools that really targeted Black children, they felt. So racism really was a big, was the number one reason, really.
Well, I'd like to actually get into that a little bit specifically with the curriculum, because I think, you know, if it's not per se affecting you, then it's really hard to be aware that something is way off with the curriculum. And I was wondering if you could talk about, you know, some of the specific issues that people were finding in the education that was being provided in the textbooks, in the history.
Yes, I can be quite specific. For example, many parents had a problem with African-American history being presented as beginning in 1619, you know, that they really felt that was very, very offensive, very reductive, and that really shortchanged their children and Black people in general, you know, that, okay, we got to the United States, or, you know, we wasn't called the United States then, but, you know, it's basically North America in 1619, but there was a long history and culture before that is really not discussed at all in textbooks. So they had a problem with African Americans being portrayed as descendants of slaves, you know?
Yeah, that's like,
and they
that's,
felt that was not correct.
Well, wait, right. I mean, so anybody, both people of color who are hearing this and, you know, white kids hearing this, they're only, you're getting started with this one story.
Right.
And that's...
Absolutely.
Yeah,
it's a very, very Eurocentric historiography, you know. So, white people brought you over here, and that's when it all starts for you,
right.
You know.
Yeah.
And it is a very demeaning and degrading, you know, situation too, because you were just slaves to white people, and this was what your people were, you know, enslaved, slaves to white people. And so many said, you know, when they were in school themselves, they felt very. Very embarrassed by this narrative. They felt that it was offensive and it was not fair and it was not true either. Because again, you know, there was a long history, a long African history before that. So, you know, that's one very specific example, but I heard it again and again. You know, also the fact that African American history and experience is not really included in the curriculum on a daily basis. That it's only during Black History Month they give you a leaflet about Martin Luther King, Rosa Parks, and George Washington, and then that's it, you know?
Right.
And so, again, as if that's all there was to the Black experience in the Americas, you know? So these are examples, you know, and really the absence of Black people in the curriculum, generally speaking.
Part of the stereotypes of sort of homeschooling kids is that people who choose to homeschool their kids are limiting what their children learn, that they are the ones who would walk out and not know as much about you know, the larger world, because they're being taught such a focused curriculum. And again, there's zero proof of this. But
of course.
So you do sit there and you wonder, what I always hear and what I have seen with my friends whose kids are homeschooled is that they're able to learn at almost a faster pace and deep dive in ways that we can't do in a traditional school setting. Is that?
Absolutely. Because it's more like on a one-on-one, you know, maybe two children or three children at the most, you know, most of the time. And so you can really take your time, go deeper into things. You're not driven by testing. You know, the schedule is pretty much yours, you know. When I teach my children, we pick one theme or two themes for the year, and we study it thoroughly. Solely. For example, one year we picked trees. My daughter wanted to learn about trees. We spent the whole year learning about trees. And when I say learning about trees, of course, we start, you know, with a tree planting and then different types of trees and what do you do with trees and deforestation and you know, and so it goes well. And then we look at the spiritual aspect, what trees mean in different traditions, what do people do. People make drums with trees and, you know, the spirit in trees. It takes you really far and deep, and it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, I want to, I really want to kind of go two ways. So I'm going to actually stop where we're going and kind of go back a little bit to, you know, a big conversation that we're trying to explain to my oldest daughter right now, as well as a discussion that's happening widely in our country now, which is a good thing, is this concept of institutionalized racism. And there's no question, you know, after sort of reading this research and, you know, asking the right questions, or any question, there are no wrong questions just to ask, is that you can see this in this Eurocentric, you know, curriculum that we have. And one of the things I was listening to, a talk that you gave where you went into sort of the history of the U.S.'s compulsory ignorance laws, mm-hmm. and how that sort of tied into a whether you wanted it or not, a history of homeschooling in the African American community. And I would actually like you, since we don't technically have those laws anymore, it's very easy for a generation of us to be like, the what? So could you talk about what those laws were and how that sort of plays into a history of homeschooling in our country?
Yes, it's very interesting. In 1740, there was those laws called compulsory ignorance laws that aimed at really preventing people of African descent. We were not African Americans yet, we were Africans. We could not learn to read and write. It was a crime. And so that meant that those African people who were inclined to learn to read and write had to do it in secret. And that's where, you know, homeschooling really started for African people in the United States. We had to hide, otherwise, you know, we could be killed or you know, severely flogged and punished. So it's very interesting that the system wants to force you to be ignorant, and so in response, you still learn, but you have to do it undercover.
You had an interesting... Go ahead, sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry, I was just going to say you had...
No, go ahead.
There was like this interesting statistic that you had that by the time emancipation had happened and those laws were lifted, was it 5%, 10%?
It was 5%. 5% of the 4 million Africans who were freed from bondage had managed to learn to read and write. So you say, okay, 5% is not a lot, but when you think about how severe and serious, you know, those compulsory ignorance laws were, you realize that there was really a strong desire on the part of African people to learn to read and write, to become literate. We also understand what was at stake. The idea was that if you managed to become literate, then you would be able to move away from the plantation, mm-hmm. because nobody wanted to stay on the plantation because it was a very harsh and cruel and difficult life. And it's very interesting because at the same time today, you know, African Americans are being accused of not wanting to learn. And I really beg to differ, and I take issue with this, you know. And when you see the eagerness of black parents today, you know, and how they homeschool, and sometimes they face very difficult situations. Single mothers, you know, who homeschool, they manage to homeschool. Some work at night so they can be home in the daytime with their children. I know that is much more complicated than black people don't want to learn. You know, it's much more complicated than that.
Well, that is probably, when I started, you know, having my daughter, we started going into looking at public schools and pursuing schools. I was so taken aback by those attitudes being spread around and talked about that, you know, what makes a, what I call the new code of what makes a good school, what makes a bad school, hearing those sort of expressions bandied about. And that theory that anybody doesn't want to learn is, it's so insane. It's such an insane, like, lazy way of thinking.
It is. It has to be. It has to be. I mean, think about how willing children are to learn.
I know.
Questions. They're so curious about everything.
It's so interesting. Well, here, let's wrap up on this question, because we were touching on this a little before that question, and it was, again, there are a lot of you know, sort of stereotypes of problems that, you know, you're going to have if you homeschool your kids, like, you know, socialization and things like that, which again have proven to not be true. But I was wondering, what are challenges that homeschooled children may have, and if they're, you know, like, what about going into college? Are there challenges with that? Are there challenges with socialization, after all, but not to the degree that we generalize? And are there any that are unique for African-American families who are homeschooling?
You know, honestly, I have been homeschooling for 14 years, and I will start my 15th year, you know, in a couple of weeks. So I've been doing this for a pretty long time. I have not seen a socialization issue, because there are many programs. Again, people who are outside of that world don't realize that there is really a community of homeschoolers, you know, that homeschoolers organize programs for their children, that institutions organize programs, because they know it's a growing market and they want to tap into it. For example, for the past probably 20 years, in the city where I live, which is Philadelphia, there was a club that organized tennis clinics just for homeschooled children on Fridays between 10 and 12. And you know, the YMCA has programs and the Kroc Center has programs just for homeschoolers during the daytime. So the children do have a chance to interact. In fact, you have to pick. There are too many activities for home. Seriously, you know, it's very tempting, because the programs are very appealing. And you say, no, we need to stay home and really sit down and do some, you know, maybe more structured work, you know, especially as they grow up, you start, you know, thinking about college and so on and so forth. In terms of going to college, it's really not a problem. My older son is 22, he's in college now. It was not difficult at all, because, again, colleges, universities have a special track for homeschooled children. There are so many of them now, you know. And some of those schools actually like homeschooled children, because they know they tend to be more focused. They tend to be more independent learners, you know. They tend to like to read. You know, that's one thing about homeschoolers. They tend to read a lot because they have more time.
Yeah, no, I've heard that. I've heard that from friends of mine who homeschool their kids, both for uniquely different reasons. But they say, you know, when I ask those, like, super vaguely insulting questions of, like, how do you do that all day? They say, my kids read a lot. You know, there's like,
they do.
Yeah. But I was like, oh, yeah, that makes sense.
They go to the library more, because, again, the school takes so much time, you know? So much of their time that they, and then when they come home, they have all their homework to do, and so when they're home, they have time. They may do their work in 3-4 hours, and then they have time to do other things like reading, playing an instrument, or whatever passion they have, whatever hobby they want, you know, to engage in. And not a problem. So socialization, college is not a problem. The problem may be more for the parents because, you know, you do...
that was my question. Next question.
I know, you do spend a lot of time with your children. Not to say that you don't want to be around them, but certainly there are times where you would like to have, you know, more time to yourself, especially if you work. Like in my case, I do work. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you have to really... juggle all that, you know, get up very early in the morning every day so you can do your own work and then you can be with your children and take care of them. So, you know, it can be a bit much at times, but, you know, I mean, we have a responsibility towards our children. That's the way I feel. And so it's only for a few years because then they grow up and they leave and, you know.
Never call you again, then.
No, you see, that's one thing about homeschooling families. They tend to be very close. The bonding the bonding between parents and children tends to be quite strong, you know? Quite strong because we spend so much time and we know each other, you know? Excuse me, I can share so many stories with them, so they know my childhood and my life, and I know them because... you know, we're together all the time.
Well, Dr. Mazama, thank you so much for joining us and sharing with us not only your research as well as your experience homeschooling. It is very important and insightful, even for those of us who stay in more traditional tracks, to be aware of this so that we can be making sure that the curriculum that is being presented to our children is more reflective of and better suited to what it is that we all need to be learning, you know, for our next generation to come up, as well as ourselves. Like right
yes,
now.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for having me.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Brainwaves, send a message, pick up the phone. When you, I call. On is moving now, no longer stone. When you, I call. Hand reaches out with a will of its own.
I'm Barbara Gray.
I'm Brandi Posey.
And I'm Tess Barker.
We're Lady to Lady. Do you want a sleepover in your ears?
Is that a friend in your pocket, or are you just podcast to see me?
We're a portable hangout you can bring to the gym, on the subway, or on an oil rig.
Seriously, we have listeners who do that.
Chill with us while we get high with Margaret Cho.
Talk showgirls with Katya from Drag Race.
And hear Broadway star Anthony Rapp sing Hamilton.
I am not throwing away my shot. I am not throwing away my shot. Hey, yo, I'm just like my country. I'm young, scrappy, and hungry, and I'm not throwing away my shot.
That's Lady to Lady.
Can you keep a secret?
Neither can we.
Hi, I'm comedian Emily Heller.
And I'm cartoonist Lisa Hannawalt.
And we're the hosts of Baby Geniuses.
Do you want to learn weird new facts?
Do you like hearing successful, creative women talk about their poop?
Do you want the scoop on Martha Stewart's pony?
If you answered yes to any of these questions, our show is for you.
We interview people like Paul F. Tompkins,
Kristen Shaw,
Michael Che,
and more. So check us out on Maximum Fun.
And let us mess up your brain.
Yes, please.
Baby geniuses, we know everything. Baby geniuses, tell us something we don't know.
I love her.
Me too.
It was just so insightful.
Yeah.
It's interesting and it's insightful. And everybody, you know, as we have learned on the show and through having discussions with others, there are a million reasons we all make all the choices that we make for our families.
Mm-hmm.
And we each are doing our best to make the right choices.
Yep.
What I take away from this specifically that helps me as a person who is very active in the public school that I send my children to is we can work on making sure that our school is including a more extensive history lesson of African-American history as well as other cultures that make up America. And if they don't, and even if they do, to take it on ourselves to make it a part of what we expose our children to in and out of school. Okay, so it's, you know, we're talking about little fixes, big fixes that will be the change that we want to see, as we often talk about. You know what we need is to listen to a mom have a breakdown.
This is Rhea. I'm losing it. my kid is miserable, and it's my fault. I quit a job a year ago for various reasons that I loved, and I stayed home for a year, and I just started back a month ago, and I love the job, but my kid hates that I'm working, and he's totally withdrawing from all his friends, and he just miserable, and he tells me he misses me, and I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. He's going into fifth grade, and it's such an important time. And I just don't know what to do. Thanks. Sorry.
First of all, you're doing a good job.
Yeah, you are.
You deserve to have a job that you love. You deserve to work if that's your choice. Okay? This is a difficult situation, and I know lots of families are going through this. I was just with some friends the other day, and we were like listening to their kids have this conversation with our kids about, look, her mom's work, and she's just not going to be able to be there all the time. You know, like, yeah. We're like on the other side listening to it, and she, you know, the mom's like, oh, I should feel horrible about that. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of guilt tied in to working.
Just hearing about what you guys are going through, it sounds like you know that mm-hmm. this is a struggle that your son can manage. This is not going to break him as
right.
a human. You know, you guys clearly have a very deep and really special relationship, and you're clearly doing an amazing job. And, you know, sometimes... You know, our kids are going to face situations that they don't like and
right.
that make them really mad or really upset or are just not what they wanted. It's just not what they had in mind. And that's how I feel in my life a lot of times, too. And somehow, you know, we overcome these challenges and somehow, you know, these challenges sometimes end up making us even better people. To me, you're the judge. You're the ultimate judge. You're the mom. But to me, it sounds like you already know that this is a challenge that your child is going to be able to overcome, and that you'll be able to overcome this as well. And, you know, I just think you guys are doing perfectly. It makes sense that it would be a transitional period. It makes sense that it would be hard.
And you're doing a good job being aware of that.
Yeah.
Just identifying that is a huge deal.
Totally.
Because then once you've identified it and let it, given yourself time to process that, you can start coming up with ways that you can support your child through this process.
Definitely.
You are doing a great job.
Yeah, you are.
And you deserve to have a job that you love.
Yeah, you do.
You absolutely do. Teresa.
Yes.
What did we learn today? We have learned that sometimes you can fuck up your children. No. We are learning, though, that this is my learning experience today mm-hmm. that I have shared with you guys, that it is okay to maybe see halfway through the game that you, maybe you, or very specifically me, and my personality that might be hindering the development of my daughter's personality. And being aware of it is half the battle. Then I will just struggle through the rest of the battle somehow.
And all said with a smile. You are doing such a good job, Biz. You
okay.
are.
You can find me under the bed later tonight. So I was like, it's just on your counter. Look at it. Solve the problem. And yet Stefan still stays married to me because, you know, mm-hmm. he gets the receiving end of this all the time as well. Mm-hmm. Oh, living with people that you invited into your house. That's a thing. So here's the thing. The point is the reminder that I can make a change if I need to. And if it works, great. And if it doesn't, I can make another change. And that's good, too. We also learned that, you know what? There's a lot we don't know about homeschooling, just like there's a lot we don't know about a lot of things out there, everybody. And to keep asking these questions and get to know how people are doing different things. For example, I might, you know, I'm not going to homeschool my children, but listening to people talk about their choices and why they homeschool definitely affects what I bring into my house.
Yes.
And definitely affects how I can make choices to help my child and other kids in the school that she goes to. You know what I mean? It's all about the larger picture and how everybody's experiences can be really beneficial to each of us. So I think that's kind of fun. I think that's great. Everybody, you are doing a very good job. You really, really are.
Yeah, you are, guys.
I mean, some days you're just trying to go to a picnic and your children.
It's very simple. A PPP.
A PPP.
A triple P.
You're having a triple P and that falls into your darkest parenting moment ever. It can happen to any of us any day.
Yeah.
Just the sheer thrill of never knowing when you're going to find yourself crippled by not knowing what to do next really levels it all out for us, guys. And you're all doing remarkable. Teresa, you are doing a remarkable job.
Thanks, Biz. So are you.
Thank you. And we will talk to you guys next week.
Bye.
I got to low down mama blues. I got to low down mama blues. Got to low down mama blues. Low down mama blues. Got to low down mama blues. Got to low down mama blues. You know that right.
We'd like to thank Max Fun, our producer, Kara Hart, our husbands, Stephen Lawrence and Jesse Thorne, our perfect children who provide us with inspiration to say all of these horrible things, and of course, you, our listeners. To find out more about the songs you heard on today's podcast and more about the show, please go to MaximumFun.org/OneBadMother. For information about live shows, our book, and press, please check out OneBadMotherPodcast.com.
One Bad Mother is a member of the Maximum Fun family of podcasts. To support the show, go to MaximumFun.org/donate.
Well, Daddy may be fussing by, got low down mama blues. Oh, said Daddy may be fussing by, got low down mama blues.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.